small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Kyle Dotson.
And Kyle joining us tonight is one of my oldest friends, one of my longest friendships.
This he doesn't man, look that old.
He's younger than me by a couple of years. But
let's call it seven.
Really? We have to do that?
It's fine.
That voice, ladies and gentlemen, is Russ McGarry. I call you Rusty, but what yes. do you like to be called?
Most people who knew me back when we first met call me Rusty, and I'm good with either.
They call you a lot worse than that. They call you Brian Adams.
So better.
No, worse. All right. Okay, so Russ, I'll call you Russ. I'll call you Rusty.
Sure.
That means 7 years. You're right around, hovering around 46.
46.
46. When will you be 47?
September the 18th, in case anybody cares. Yeah. You'll still be old. You'll always be older than me, my friend. Until you're deader than me.
Well, and then there you go.
Mm-hmm. Bringing it down right away.
So Rusty and I have known each other since our Chicago days. I said this about when John Heffron was on too. I spent more time with you and John Heffron. Like, I'm talking time like where you're together.
Like concentrated.
Concentrated time, 24 yeah. hours a day for weeks on end, than I have with any other people in my life other than my immediate family.
Yeah, same. I've been
it's
saying that
totally
too.
True.
And it's weird. Like when I start telling stories about when we did that tour, the mm-hmm. college tour together, crack me up.
Crack me up. With a K.
With a K, because that makes it funny.
It is. It's a K sound and a K word.
And but when I tell people stories, like if anyone knows about it, like my wife Ann knows a lot of those
sure.
stories, but then once in a while I'll be like, do you ever tell about the time this? And she's like, you've told me 1,000 stories about Pat and John. And I'm like, there's at least another 1,000.
There's another 1,000.
Yeah.
But that was, I know John does not like to talk about it much, but I loved it.
I did too.
I really loved it. It was stupid, and some days it was horrible. But, you know, we are all over the country in a van.
Yeah. And we actually talked about it on Murray's podcast.
Who?
You'll recognize him when you see him. Right. We talked a lot about those stories on there. And yeah, and it was just, we were young and we just were like being paid back then for all of us a lot of money for a show. And then we'd have like 14 in a row. And I'd be like, wow, I just made like $5,000 in like three weeks.
Then they would drop it. They would direct deposit it to us on Friday. And we would go do laundry.
Pretty much.
There's no internet back then.
No.
No computer. You had some type of a word processing thing. That
I had a Mac laptop, actually. Like one of the first ones. Like it ran on coal. How's that for a joke?
We're going to bring that back.
All right.
Look, I want to bring it back. Oh. The old Macs.
Because my Mac, it doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work anymore. My tweet machine runs on coal.
We can drop this now.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture of you. Oh, I do. Take a picture right now because this
makes for
good
radio.
Well, you got like this isn't radio, this is a podcast. But you got the rock wall is awesome behind you.
That's a rock climbing wall behind me.
Look at that.
Oh man, I look like Casey Kasem.
I can only make it up to Journey Escape. I can't get any higher.
Isn't that ironic?
I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah,
yeah. I try to get higher. I can't do it. I want to touch the Knack someday. Cannot do it. So yeah, we did this college tour for. Year and a half.
Yeah. Like four semesters or something like that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Lots of time in a van together.
And
a lot of shows where we just ate shit constantly.
We just ate it.
You would get into this zone though. Like I remember you at one point grow out your goatee and I noticed that you were doing it like.
Wait a second. Kyle was getting a text.
Oh, hang on.
That's producer so weird because I've never even heard the text alert on my phone.
Who's the text from?
It was like some eBay idiot.
Oh, what do you want to know?
What's eBay?
Did you sell another dildo?
Yeah, if I ship something, it's not a big deal.
So it's not a big dildo?
No. All right. Not a big deal. Dildo.
Oh, dildo.
Not a big dildo.
Oh. Ha, words.
But yeah, sometimes we would get into the zone.
Yeah, but you were like one time, like I noticed you would grow out your goatee like right before we leave. And I'm like, what do you want? Always have a goatee on the run. You're like, oh, it's my fuck you goatee. I don't even know what that means. But okay.
I remember saying
psychologically,
that,
if it helps you, fine.
I like that. That's funny.
Yeah, see, I don't give a shit.
That's the fuck you goatee.
Yeah.
We would stay in some bad hotels.
We'd sleep in the same bed.
So sometimes we'd all be in the same room. So for a couple of nights, so we would trade off.
Who slept on the
floor? Bed floor. Everyone would just rotate around.
20 something. That
yep.
This day and age.
Rusty was with me on my 30th birthday, but he thought it was my 26th birthday or 25th birthday.
Were we on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to a sports bar in Minnesota. That was when we went when Heffron was sick.
Oh, right. We skied.
We skied all day and he would just...
Left him in the room?
Yeah, he couldn't text us or call us. He would just... I don't know what he did, but he got a message to us. He wanted
toast.
Toast.
Yeah.
I think we brought him toast and he took like a bite of one half of a slice.
And then just closed the door.
And that was it.
That was it. All right, okay, John. We're going to go ski again. See you.
Yeah, see you, John. You're in town. You're in Los Angeles. We're recording at my house tonight.
Yes. I've stayed in the room behind this room.
That's right. You have.
For a couple weeks.
You have. The reason you're here is you're pitching some shows to some networks, some animated stuff.
Animated things, yes.
That's what you do when you... when you need to make a big chunk of change.
Yeah. Or, as I call it, not a lot of money, but I need money.
Right.
Yeah. But, I've been freelancing for a couple of years from Portland. And so I just like looking to get on staff on another show. Because like when I stayed with you for those couple of weeks, I was actually down here for like almost a year on staff at Disney. So, yeah. So that's
that show
hope.
Was Danny Jones, Crazy Ninja.
Yep.
What was it
nope.
called?
It's Randy Cunningham.
Randy
grade
Jones.
No.
Ninth grade karate. Oh,
and actually, Kyle Dodson slept in this very room that we're recording in.
Yeah.
We were basically roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were here and kicked Kyle to the couch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a happy 2 weeks for you, I bet.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
He didn't care. No. He didn't sleep anywhere.
Kid.
Why didn't you share a bed with him?
He doesn't know. Maybe I did. Reminds me, I remember one of the things that...
Kyle's got his fuck you beard on.
Well, speaking of crack me up, and again, another story, yeah. But it was like one night I woke up, I think we slept in the same bed.
Yeah.
I woke up, I'm like, so did you have a dream that you got a hand job? And you're like, no, but I pretended to be asleep. 23 years ago, you said that. It still makes
good.
Me laugh.
That's good.
It's a good piece of biz.
That's what I would say when I was 30. And now that I'm 53, what I say, Kyle's taking a bottle opener away from me because I'm clicking it.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been doing this for 6 years. We've never had you on the show because you live in Portland. Mm. And then as soon as I found out you were coming here this this week for a couple of days, I said, let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
The perfect topic for you.
Gladly, yes.
Is a guy named Tom Waits.
Mm.
And I'm calling this show Tom Waits, the man and his music, because... You're going to play songs that Tom Waits wrote
and performs,
yeah. And I'm going to play songs that Tom Waits covers. I'm going to play Tom Waits covers.
Can you call this Tom Waits for Nothing?
Tom Waits for No One?
There you go.
I could call it Azbazabuzai. I could call it that.
However you want to spell that, yeah.
I could call it Juice Bunny Go Daddy.
So we're doing Louis Armstrong now?
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit. And you had trouble with your iTunes.
Yeah.
So you sent me a list and made me buy these songs.
Yep. That was really behind it.
And I queued them all up for you, too. I hope that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
And Kyle, you're going to enjoy this immensely.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
going to
be...
Big fan of Tom Waits
right
there.
Right up your alley, sir. But I love Tom Waits as a songwriter. And I can tolerate him on some early stuff. And then I got to tell you,
it's
pretty tricky.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's why I specifically selected some of these songs because...
Oh boy, did you.
Yeah, I specifically grabbed a couple of his later things just because just to show the difference.
It's nuts.
And to be positive, half glass, half full,
yeah.
His range, if you will.
Okay.
And his growth as a musician and a songwriter.
And he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Tom Waits has been around for a long time, Kyle.
I don't like
how many albums does he have? He has...
Something like ridiculous.
He has 16 studio albums.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about someone's albums, I don't go with the compilations and the live albums.
Right.
But 16 studio albums from 1973 all the way up to 2011. And is he just taking a hiatus? You think he'll record again?
I think he's just resting his voice for a little while.
Just resting. He needs to rest it for a while.
Yeah.
Just
it's only been 6 years.
Chill it out
five.
A little bit. But Tom Waits is 67 years old. When did you first start listening to Tom Waits? How did you discover Tom Waits?
Well, that's funny because I put these songs in this order because this is one of the first songs I ever heard by him, and it's off of a later album, Bone Machine, which was like 92, I want to say, or 91. I actually, the first time I heard him, I was doing stand-up, and I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the club messed up and put me in the headliner in the same room on Thursday night. So we're like, we got to share a room. I don't know this human being. He doesn't know
that's
me.
That's terrible.
And he was like our age, and I was 21, 22. And so he was listening to, he had a Discman, because, you know, it's 91, 92.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you like Tom Waits? And I was like, I don't know who that is. And he's like, here, I'm going to give you this album when I'm done listening to this, because I think we were both reading. And he's like, just listen to this album. I think you'll like this because it's his newer stuff. And so the first song on this is off Bone Machine. And it's probably one of my favorite songs off of this album. But and just because of when we listen to it, we can talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
But it's an interesting story. I don't know. This is where I think he took a turn where this is where you're like, okay, this is where I start hating all of his stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Yeah, that's and I like a lot of people that don't have the greatest voices.
Oh yeah, of course.
But that's a tricky one.
Well, for me, that song, because the whole story is, if you don't know the song, it's him as a guy in jail who's getting out of jail, and he's going to go out to California and become famous is his whole take. And so that so his voice for me in that song really works because he's playing a character. But yeah, I can see how, like, okay, in the next song, is he still the same character, but he's singing about something completely different?
Well, lucky, then this album has 16 songs on it, and that's song number 10. So he didn't kick it off with that song.
No, no.
All right, that's...
All right, my first one.
So the guy gives you this Discman, and you listen to the whole album start to finish?
Yeah, yeah.
And did you... And did you immediately like it, or were you like, wow, this is, I've never heard anything like this before?
Yeah, I was intrigued by it, and so I went and bought it. I think I was in Madison, Wisconsin, like the next week, and I went to a CD shop and bought it. But the thing is, because that song, there's several songs that have that same drive to it.
Yeah.
Drive, literally, because like driving around the country by yourself in your car, it's like,
yeah. It's tough.
And it kept me, kept me engaged, and it's like, all right, I can keep going. But you put on some of his earlier stuff, and it's like, well, time to fall asleep and cross the middle line and die. So it's a little bit different tone, but yeah, so I played the hell out of that album for probably a good 6 months or 8 months.
All right. What I'm going to do to start out today is I'm going to play, two songs back to back. I'm actually going to play Tom Waits.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to play the cover, which is, sorry, I burped. I'm drinking something called Not Your Father's Ginger Ale. It's got 5.9% alcohol. Is that a lot of alcohol? Is that?
It's actually higher than I thought it would be.
Is that not bad?
Yeah.
I could be drunk already then.
You might be.
The only thing I had today was one chicken nugget, a handful of tater tots, and four cookies.
And a dirty martini.
Oh, four cookies? You should be fine.
I should be good. What do they call that when you... A bread base is what I saw. It was some movie. I'm getting a nice bread base.
Yeah, because that's how your body works.
That's right. Oh, I know what movie it was. That was Sisters, and that was John Leguizamo. Before they went to a party, he goes, he's eating bread. He's like, I'm building a bread base for tonight.
How is that in your brain? That's crazy.
I know, because I just watched it on HBO a couple weeks ago.
All right, that'll do it.
It's an old man movie. Okay, so let's hear, this song's from Bone Machine.
Hey!
We just played a song from Bone Machine.
Did. Yeah.
So play this song, Kyle. Go ahead.
I figured that was...
Right into the next one, Kyle.
When I'm lying in my fitting head, I don't want.
Of course, that Survivor cover Tom Waits.
Now, here's what's amazing about these Tom Waits songs is, you know, his version, I heard it after I heard them. When I heard this, when I bought Adios Amigos and put it on, I didn't know.
No idea.
I didn't look at the credits before I listened to the album. I thought that was an original song.
Mm-hmm. It's. I mean, it sounds perfect.
It sounds perfect. Yeah. And I don't know who turned the Ramones on to this Tom Waits song. But man, it's perfect for them.
Yeah, it sounds like a Ramones song.
Yeah, and then I went back and listened to his version, and I liked it because I liked the Ramones version. You know what I mean? If I would have heard his, and again, his came out in 92, and they redid this in 95.
Right, it was a few years later.
But anyway, so yeah, as far as his songwriting ability, top notch.
Yeah, no, great. It's a strong song.
Great, great, great.
He kind of sounds like a Muppet that is auditioning in like a montage for the Muppet Band and isn't that great.
He didn't get the gig because he does not get along with Dr. Teeth.
He
was going to be.
He rules that band with a strong hand.
He was going to be. He was going to be one of the Electric Mayhem, and he did not get past.
Oh, he was supposed to kick Janice out of the band.
I heard that he banged the crap out of her. That's what Bone Machine is about.
That's the title.
He gave her.
Oh, this is like Peter Gabriel's album. It's supposedly about what's her name? I'm not pulling a reference at all.
Well, anyway, he said, who was the girl in the electric? Janice. Yeah. He called her vagina, the bone machine.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Tell your kids that. Muppet humor. Tell them all daddy's listening to his podcast about Muppets.
Yeah. Bone machine. Guess who it's about?
Mommy, is that your bone machine?
Oh. Waka, waka, waka.
Hey, it's about time this show got funny. What's your next song?
Next song is off of an old album called Old Shoes.
The song's called Old Shoes. It's off an old album.
That's why I called it that, because he knew this would be an old album eventually.
All right. Do you know what album it's on?
I do not know.
Closing Time is what it says.
That's his first album, 1973.
Yeah.
Kyle, I didn't know you knew this much about
this song. This time it was sung. I've been putting it off for a while, but it's hard to find now, cause the truth is clear that I cry when I'm seeing you smile. So goodbye so long, the road calls.
Now, I like a lot of songs on this album.
Yes.
And you're going to be playing some more later.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, his voice is I can appreciate this voice.
Right, yeah.
It's just later when it gets crazy.
Well, did he smoke a million cigarettes a day?
He gargled with razor blades. No, and you can tell it's a conscious choice that he made to sound the way he sounded. And the thing about trivia with him, we talked about the before the mic came on, is like, you said, you know, do you know any trivia about him? It's like there's a lot of things that he says are complete lies. Like if you ever watch anything on him on Letterman or any of the
he could be president.
It's gonna be a huge wall. But like he tells really weird stories. You're like, this could be true, but it could not be. But one of the stories he tells is like he had an uncle who had a voice that sounded like that, and he wanted his voice to sound like that. But it's like, but he has like seven albums or eight albums that he doesn't sound like that on.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he just does out of nowhere. So I don't know. He's loves like making shit up and like just being the college like art weirdo guy. He's like, I wear a fedora and a sports jacket and it's 1974. And it's like, all right.
Honey, remember that voice thing I told you about? I'm finally pulling the trigger on it. I'm doing it with his new album, Bone Machine. That's about Janice's pussy. She's the one from the Muppets. Yeah, yeah, with the big lips. Yeah. Looks like Carly Simon.
Sweet. Yeah. This is how he talked before he started changing his voice.
Yep. So I'm going to do it right now. I picked a song next to juxtapose how gravelly and how crazy his voice is, I'm going to play a song by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think Robert Plant is really heard much, at least where I have it queued up.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly Alison. And this song is called Trampled Rose.
Yeah.
Piano from a window play. Gone tomorrow from yesterday.
What I find interesting about when the covers, and I know a couple other ones you're probably going to play, mm-hmm. is that like her voice is so, it changes the tone of the entire song.
Yeah.
And it's there's such a sadness to that version of that song that is not in the original, that in a different way. There's more of a longing in her voice because she's so good at that.
And look, there's probably people that don't like her voice.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. Probably people are like, oh, this is too, I don't like it.
Like the deaf.
I don't like Alison Krauss's voice.
Is that Tom Waits doesn't like her voice?
Nah, I don't like it when she does my songs. It's not so much. I don't appreciate it.
Whoa. So it's kind of a...
I mean, I'll cash the check.
Forrest Gump meets
I'll
Tom.
I'll cash the check, but
it's
I don't
really...
It's like
really. A Bruce Springsteen, Forrest Gump impression.
Yeah, it definitely has your Springsteen image
well,
that you've done.
Well, look.
You can stop whenever you want.
Life is like a box of chocolates. I drink all the rum candies.
25 years I've known you.
How is Tom Waits not in one of those Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Hey, I should be a pirate because I'm 67.
Oh, it's an age requirement for being a pirate. I forgot.
I call him Jack Black Sparrow because I think he's that fat, funny guy. Jack Black Sparrow. Captain Jack Black.
Just letting you keep talking.
I'll never stop, Russ.
Yeah, I know. 25 years I've known you.
What's your song? Play right, your goddamn song.
So I put this... So I sandwiched the last song, Old Shoes.
Oh, I love sandwiches.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about a bologna. That's what I used to call Janice's pussy. Bologna sandwich. But I put that song, Old Shoes, in between the first song and this song because his voice is... You can hear the crazy difference again. But what I love about this song, it's Innocent When You Dream. If you've seen the movie Smoke, the end credits that have this song playing, and it plays out an entire story that was Harvey Keitel's character tells during the actual movie, but you get to watch this flashback happen. And it's, I don't know, I guess, got a good, for me, that's what I connect to this song, is that moment.
What's this song called again?
Innocent When You Dream.
Okay, let's hear it.
Love soaring about free.
Your faces are amazing.
La is on the moon. Where are the arms that held me and pledged to love me for? And pledged to love me for? And it's such a sorrow feeling. All the fields are soft and green. It's memories.
I wish there was a video version of this podcast.
There's not.
Your faces.
Every song can't sound like that, right? On the album?
It's like a joke. Like, it's like a drunk guy on a carousel just after hours, just screaming.
Now, this album is from 87. It's Frank's Wild Years. Is this an album you will put on and listen to start to finish?
Yeah, especially when I'm making love to my wife. No, a lot of his albums, like when you asked me to pick 12 songs, it's because he said he's a 16 studio album.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to choose, but like there's one or two of his albums, like Closing Time, where that Old Shoes song was on. I can listen to that from start to finish.
Sure.
But this one, it's a little rough. There's a concert film about this album that
this album
is fun to watch.
17 unlistenable. I mean, 17 songs on it. Wow. That's rough.
Now, what would you rather listen to, that or the new Meatloaf?
Ooh.
Oh, dude, have you heard any of the new Meatloaf?
No.
Okay.
There's a reason why.
What's Hold that on. Song we play, Kyle, the one that's really terrible?
I'll find it here.
I like that you hate Tom Waits so much. We're going to Meatloaf.
You're not
going to
believe this, dude. You're not going to believe this.
This is called Only When I Feel.
Is that the only song we have in there from this album?
It looks to be. Wait, maybe not.
Yeah, I think we have. I think there's a worse one than that.
We have all of them.
Okay.
Skull of Your Country.
That's the one.
What is Skull of
Skull of Your Country?
Wow.
Wait to hear him.
How do you bury the skull of your country?
This isn't real.
Yes.
How do you bury a nation of these? Where you gonna hide your love through the long years of dying?
You can play another one, Kyle. Whatever you want.
Give me a tombstone and a...
Oh my shit.
Yeah. Play another one.
Oh.
That sounded like a doddering grandfather, yep, like in the shower.
This is loving you's a dirty job, but somebody's gotta do it.
Sure.
When the sky is falling and you're looking for somewhere to hide. Did you ever call out to someone?
Let's see, the background vocals
make it sound.
Save it. I've never been gone. I've been right here by your side.
It's terrible.
There ain't nothing but clouds. There ain't nothing but clouds in your eyes.
Oh, I'm glad to see you kept that three-note range that he's famous for. Why would you make an album? You can't sing anymore.
Who... Again,
oh my God.
Who is behind the boards going, we got it, mate.
Nail it, like the thumbs up.
Nailed it.
And,
killer.
And that's in the day and age where you can piece things together.
You can sing one word at a time if you have to.
That was insanely
just, today
terrible.
We're just going to do the, so just do the over and over and over again.
Just up and down that three-note range we were talking about over and over. Well, and actually, funny enough about Meatloaf. Again, this is the crack me up thing. Where it's like, I remember one of the jokes that you had in your act during that time, and it was when "I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That" came out.
Yeah,
and I can't remember the exact wording. I'm probably going to murder it.
The video is Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, the video, and you're like, and at the very end, she kisses the Beast, and he turns into Meatloaf. Like, that's any better?
Yeah, but I think my punchline, as lame as it was that I don't think she kissed him hard enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Terrible. Well, the song that you just played had like a calliope kind of in the background, and it made me think of some Bruce Springsteen, early Bruce Springsteen stuff, where he would use like sounds like that on his album, accordions. And
he
stuff
was,
like
I mean,
that.
He was really influenced by Tom
Waits.
Yeah.
And so he has a live version of a Tom Waits song that is very popular. He still sings it sometimes in concert today. Oh. This is Bruce Springsteen, "Jersey Girl," Jersey Girl.
Tonight I'm gonna take that ride across the river to the Jersey side.
Wonder where he's performing right now.
Portland?
Yeah, Massachusetts.
And I'll take her on all the rides. 'Cause down the shore everything's alright.
I imagine this is what all the Tom Waits songs would sound like if he could sing a little better. Because this isn't too far off from what Tom Waits is trying to do.
Yeah. And the original of that song, he doesn't have that super gravelly thing still going on. But yeah, it's like, yeah, I think that, yeah, it's almost like in his brain, that's what the voice he hears.
Yes.
But when it comes out, it's like, Joe.
Is part of it because he's like kind of such a hipster that he doesn't want to like be super popular or like played on the radio? Is that like,
yeah, I don't know. I
weird, because
he built such a cult following so early on when cult followings didn't really exist, that I think he just wanted to maintain that. And yeah, that's a good point. It's like, you would not put Going Out West on the radio. People immediately change the station and be like,
right,
why, okay, something's wrong with the station.
But I mean, he was with Asylum Elektra Records for like the first six albums, and then Island Records signed him for the next five. So it wasn't like he was turning off he wasn't selling millions of albums, but he also wasn't turning off record companies.
Yeah, I mean, he had deals. I mean,
yeah, he got deals.
I mean, he cranked out 16 albums. It's like kind of hard to pull off when
makes,
no one likes you.
Made a living.
Yeah.
Singing like that.
Like how?
Like that. Made a living singing like that. And when, this is my Meatloaf singing. And when I sing about the country that I love.
That is not Meatloaf, because it sounds at least better.
So Meatloaf. That's what I mean. I could go in and record a better album than Meatloaf
did. Sure. They could auto-tune the shit out of Meatloaf and make him sound like a human being at least.
I just can't believe that.
That's probably with auto-tune.
Can we hear one more Meatloaf song?
Yeah.
Whatever one you want to pick.
It's turning into hating songs.
We play Meatloaf a lot.
Oh, yeah. I haven't listened in a while.
Because it's...
Because all the Meatloaf you guys are playing.
We play Meatloaf a lot. It's just so bad.
Hold on.
It's okay, Kyle. Take your time. None of this will be edited.
Just awkward silence.
Just awkward, just Meatloaf. The album cover's cool.
Yeah, you know why? He's not in charge of that. Record labels do that.
There are things that I've come to believe. No! Since the new resurrection of love, there are visions I finally see. There are signs everywhere, they're below and above.
And above.
There are things that I finally know.
Is he learning? Did he have a stroke and he's relearning English? Is that what this is?
It sounds like he had a stroke.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now over enunciate everything, mm-hmm. which, I mean, sadly, we might not be that far off.
You know what happens when you have a stroke? Retire.
Exactly.
Don't do another album.
With your millions. Yeah.
Dummy.
He's like how I would expect, what's his name from Rocky Horror? Eddie?
Eddie, yeah.
Eddie Wood sing after he's dead.
Right. Yeah. Hot patootie, bless him my soul. I love the rock and the roll.
It also sounded like someone like pretending like if he's playing the piano, and that's what I was picturing, is like someone who's just learned piano and he just learned how to like match the words to the notes that he's playing with his right hand.
Holy balls.
The other thing is someone probably had to go in and play the piano part slower to match his.
The album's called Braver Than We Are, and I can tell you, those guys are braver than I am because I would never release that.
Yeah, put your name on that. There's some people that lost a few jobs after that one.
Loaf. Meat Loaf.
By the way, you're working with a guy named Meat Loaf. Like, your standards probably should be a little lower.
That had Jim Steinman songs.
Really?
Yep. All Jim Steinman songs.
On that, that's a Jim Steinman song?
Yep.
Did he have a stroke too then? What the fuck? Oh my God.
Can you actually make these songs worse so Meat can sing them?
Here's the problem with this album. Meatloaf sounds so bad that I don't know if the songs are good or not.
Right. Yeah. That could have been a totally viable song.
If he was
song.
1977 Meatloaf, maybe those songs are amazing. Right. But I can't tell.
Oh my God.
So if could someone re-record that whole album and send it to me?
Tom Waits, are you listening?
What's your next song?
Okay. Well, speaking of which.
Or did I just play Jersey Girl?
Yeah, you just played Jersey Girl.
So then it's your turn.
Yeah. So the next song is Cemetery Polka, and I can't wait to see the looks on your faces.
Oh, Jesus. What album is this from? Do you know?
Rain Dogs.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah.
Now, Rain Dogs has like a kind of, this is 1985. This kind of has a cool album cover. Well, yeah. What is going on in there?
It kind of looks like London Calling with Elvis cover.
Oh, it does kind of. It does kind of look
like that. But I don't know what's going on. That's not him on this album cover. There's two people. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, that's, those are the guys from U2 and his son.
No. Okay, what's this song called?
Cemetery Polka.
Okay, Cemetery Polka.
There's a hog all night. He's a big shot. Now we're at the slaughterhouse. Plays accordion for Mr. Weiss. Uncle Bill and Uncle William made $1 million during World War II. But the tight ones and the cheapskates, and they'll never give a dime to you.
All right, listen to Meatloaf now. Meatloaf now.
It's like a song the cat would sing that like works at a circus and captured Pinocchio or whatever.
Okay, now I don't know what I'm missing, but I'm going to tell you this right now. On Wikipedia, they have reviews for this album, okay? Mm. All Music, 5 stars out of 5. Encyclopedia of Popular Music, 5 stars. Hot Press, 12 out of 12. I don't know why they go 12 out of 12. Hot Press.
Two better.
Mojo, 5 stars. Q, 5 stars. Rolling Stone, 5 stars.
School of the Deaf, 5-0.
Select.
Weirdly enough.
Whatever Select is, 5 out of 5. Uncut, 5 out of 5. Village Voice, B+.
Oh.
Not enamored with it the way ever. But, I mean, what is the rest of this album like that it's getting these rave reviews?
It's a lot of the same but different, but it's a lot of the same.
This has got 19 songs on it.
Did it come after like a large hiatus or like after a...
I don't think so.
Big album or a,
no,
or
he had an
a
album,
worse album? Or
Swordfish Trombones in 83 and then Rain Dogs in 85.
Sounds like he's playing a swordfish trombone in that song.
Sounds like someone took a swordfish to his throat.
Well, the and again, this is like my connection. This is how I connect music in my brain. Like I said, mm-hmm. the scene from Smoke with Innocent When You Dream. This song is... it, not that you have to listen to it, but it inspired me to write a short story about a kid who played accordion mm-hmm. and winds up going into a carnival. So it, that connects that in my brain is
okay.
So because it's a he's such a good storyteller. I mean, his emotional songs like Jersey Girl,
yeah,
are really like just beautiful, lyrical. But he builds these really weird little worlds and these stories about very specific characters. And so like that's why I was drawn to put that song in here. Not because I love it, but it's.
He should publish a book of just his lyrics so people could actually read them, figure out what
he's doing,
what he's saying, because they are good.
This album was ranked number 21 on Rolling Stone's list of 100 greatest albums of the 80s.
Wow, really?
It's 21.
Are you going to seek this one out and then suddenly completely turn
180
on your Tom Waits?
No.
And own everything.
The $13.78 I spent buying these songs is quite enough. This album went gold. This guy has a gold album hanging up.
Yeah. Probably, I would imagine more than one. He's got to have one more at least.
He does. Yeah. Keith Richards plays on this album.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Let me tell you, he has a couple of gold albums. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Do 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 do. Without a doubt. My next song, Kyle. I don't have it on my list, but I can see it over there on your list. This is Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band from The Fire Inside. This is New Coat of Paint.
Let's put a new coat of paint on this lonesome old town. Set 'em up, set 'em up. We'll be knocking 'em down. You wear a dress, baby. I'll wear a tie. We'll laugh at that old bloodshot moon in that burgundy sky.
See, now that's how I imagine Tom Waits thinks he's singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, again, if that was Tom Waits, I'm a Tom Waits fan if this is how he sings. If he sings like Seger does.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? Now, when someone else is singing these songs, Kyle, how are you doing with it?
I like it. I can hear the lyrics and I understand what's going on. Whereas, but it's like he writes a really nice thing and then buries it under his vocals and carnival music. It's really just, it's very strange.
It is carnival music.
Yeah, there's a lot of those elements in his songs, especially when you're talking about like swordfish trombones.
Did
like,
he play a carny in a movie? I think he did. Was he? No, that was Robbie Robertson. Was
you know
in
what he
the
kind
movie
of
Carney?
You know what he kind of looks like
with Gary Busey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's done some acting, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was in Dracula.
He was Renfield.
He was Renfield. Yeah,
he was Renfield in the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula
That's
movie.
A terrible movie.
Well, they got Tom Waits in it.
He's also in like Seven Psychopaths and a few other things.
Mystery Man.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in several things. Oh, he's Down by Law, if you've ever seen Down by Law.
Haven't seen Down by Law.
He's, like, one of four people. Like, Roberto Benigni, and like, him and two other people are in this movie. They escape from prison.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
He's a really solid actor. I actually remember hating Dracula, but really loving that version of Renfield, because it was just, like, this... I mean, it was that the exact thing.
The Count will see you now. That made me cough.
How does he record 17 songs in one album and not wind up choking?
Now, let me ask you this. Have you seen him perform live?
I have not.
Bucket list.
Yeah. I missed
You got to go next time because these guys are dropping.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen for that much longer. And he doesn't tour ever. Like, he just does like one performance in San Francisco or one in LA or one in New York. And then you find out about it 5 days prior and it sells out in 30 seconds. Like, I was at VH1 working on a couple shows when he did... album called Mule Variations. He went on tour and did like three shows in Los Angeles, and it was like $180 a ticket. It was the cheapest ticket, and I was just like, I can't for the life of me excuse doing that. And then it's like he's performed once since then, and that was 2001 or whatever, 2002, which is like,
what does he sound like on live albums? Have you heard any of his live albums?
Yeah similar.
What if you said he sounds great? gets it together for the live albums.
Real smooth sound, like Mel Torme.
All right, you're up. I just played
Seger. Bob Seger.
Wait, let me. Was it you who posted something about why Seger's music isn't available anymore?
Yes, someone sent me a link to that article.
Yeah, what was the deal? Because I didn't get a chance to read it.
The article is so long that I don't even know how I can thumbnail it. But His manager is in charge. Bob lets his manager, Punch Andrews, handle all that stuff. And Punch says the royalty amount that they pay for downloads isn't worth it
really
to put the albums up. He said if they let us do it where you had to buy the whole album, you couldn't cherry pick songs, we would do it. He goes, but when we put if we're going to put up a Bob Seger album and then people are going to buy the two songs four they know songs from the radio, whatever, yeah. He goes, it's not worth it to us. The money's not really there. So Bob Seger must have a fucking ton of money.
Oh yeah, clearly. Because it's like, oh, we don't need that extra $150,000 from the
Well, he has that Like a Rock Chevy money.
Oh yeah, he's
but I
fine.
Mean, like I think his first five or six albums, some of those weren't ever released on CD. It's crazy.
Really?
Because there was like Bob Seger, and then there was like the Bob Seger System.
Right.
And there was many albums before it was Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Huh. So
it's weird they don't even just do a fuck you and put it on Spotify or something.
It's weird that they just don't remaster everything and just release a box set, but say like, because I think they're afraid then people will upload it and people will be able to get it for free.
Yeah. The whole game has changed.
Yeah.
And he's old. And he's
but also, if he has all that money and doesn't need any more money, then why does he give a shit if people have it for
free? That's true, too. That's a good thing, too. I don't know, but I mean...
That sounds like a really good excuse that they came up with, and maybe there's something else. Who knows?
I mean, he's still
just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, he's still on Capitol Records, who has no problem with purging the Beatles catalog as much as possible. They must be on the phone with them every week. Guys, Bob, come on.
Just say yes.
Just do it. I mean, even this, they've remastered like three CDs, but it's just the album. There's no bonus tracks. There's no, they didn't improve the liner notes at all. It's just like, the sound is better. I bought them because you can't find anything anywhere. And some of the CDs sound really not good because it was like the first time, we released it. That's how it was the original time.
Everyone wants to hear.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, leave it.
That's why on Chevy commercial, it's like, like a rock.
Like a rock. I would do that one. I would go like a rock.
That's Tom Waits.
Yeah, it is.
I never heard any of his songs in a commercial.
Well, it's funny you brought that up because I saw a thing. Uh-oh. Was that a joke?
I am stuck on Band-Aid.
It wasn't a joke. Do you know something I don't know?
Yeah, I just saw
Are you
it
actually
right
doing producer duties?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said he has steadfastly refused to allow the use of his songs in commercials.
I won't let him do it.
Joked about other artists who were... do it once commenting, if Michael Jackson wants to work for Pepsi, why doesn't he just get himself a suit and an office and in their headquarters and be done with it?
Fuck yeah. Right.
And
because I couldn't molest boys there. I can only do that at Neverland.
Or on...
But if he's got an office...
Or on Bring Your Child to Work Day.
yes, Bring a Boy to Work Day.
Waits filed a lawsuit in 1988 against Frito-Lay.
Yeah.
What did they do?
The company had approached Waits to use one of his songs, and when he declined, Frito-Lay hired a Waits sound-alike to sing a jingle similar to the Step Right Up from his album Small Change.
Yeah, it's like a carnival barker. It's like, Step Right Up, Step Right Up. And I remember that commercial.
You should try to find that, Kyle. Did the sound like, did he gargle with Fritos before he sang
it? With him in his mouth.
Just get your throat real cut up.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's available because of the lawsuit. Maybe somebody
maybe fine. Someone ripped it.
Yeah,
I'll look for it while we play this.
Thank you.
While we play this.
So the next one is
from
off
closing
the,
time.
From Closing Time. And that's also from Closing Time. It's off the first album again, and it's a cover that you may be playing. I have no idea. Old 55.
This kicks off the album.
Well, my time went so quickly, I went lickety-splickly out to my old 55. As I pulled away slowly, feeling so holy, God knows I was feeling alive.
Love Love that song.
Yeah.
Love great. That song. That's probably one of the songs that he played or had on a demo that got him his record deal.
There are two albums that came out. I may still have them. But they were his demo recordings. And he tried to sue the label because they released them as albums after the Closing Time came out, I think, or maybe one of his first two albums. And but it's, yeah, that song, it's on guitar. It's just him singing it
yeah,
on guitar.
Yeah, that's really great.
It's very, it's stripped down and really beautiful.
Did you find the Frito song, Kyle?
I cannot find it.
Huh.
At all.
All righty.
He did do a voiceover for a dog at a food commercial.
A what? Food?
A dog in a dog food commercial.
Oh, all right. Makes sense.
In a dog food commercial.
But then he later regretted it.
Was he the voice of the dog?
Say he'd rather have a hot lead enema than do that again.
In his throat. I'd rather have a hot lead.
Well, look, if you're gonna sell your mouth to a dog food, you should get yourself an office and a suit.
All right. I do love this song, and the version I know is from Eagles.
Eagles, yeah.
Not the Eagles. It's Eagles. Have you seen the documentary?
Oh, no. No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. It's
Carve Out 12 Hours.
Oh, God, really?
It's really great.
Oh,
because right. they're assholes.
They're idiots, yeah.
They're total assholes. But I guess Glenn Frey is sitting at the bar at the Troubadour with Steve Martin, and he's telling Steve Martin that he has a name for his band. And Steve Martin says, what is it? And he goes, Eagles. And Steve Martin goes, that's a great name, the Eagles. He goes, no, it's just Eagles. And Steve Martin goes, it's not the Eagles. He goes, no, it's just Eagles. It's like, okay.
Good choice.
So this is Eagles. This is from On the Border. This is their second album. And this is Rock and Peace, Glenn Frey.
Well, my time went so quickly. I went lickety splitly out to my old 55. As I pull away slowly, feeling so holy, God knows I was feeling alive. And now the sun's coming up, I'm riding with Lady Luck.
Now, I mean, that's whether you like Eagles or not, that's crazy how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can understand where someone would go, yeah, they glossed it up too much.
Yeah, they dressed it up.
They dressed it up a lot. But, I mean, that's what they do, though. The harmonies and everything, sure, that's what they do. Yeah. And I have another version of this song I want to play. This is Sarah McLachlan, and this is from a soundtrack called Boys on the Side. Let's hear her tackle Old 55.
I was feeling so holy, God knows. I was feeling alive. The sun's coming up, riding Lady Luck. Freeways, cars, and trucks. Stars beginning.
What's funny is, circling back around again to the Crack Me Up stuff, is I remember having this album with us, because all we would do is, like, we'd get paid, like you said, on Friday, we'd get a bunch of money, and all of a sudden, it's like the weekend, and we'd do colleges, so usually we wouldn't have shows on the weekend, so we'd just go to the mall and spend way too much money on
CDs. Yeah, we would
just
buy comic books and action figures and CDs. Yeah.
And it was like we'd each drop like $100 every weekend, because it's like, hey, I got $500.
We had a Walkman that would plug into the cassette deck of the car.
Yeah.
So we'd buy CDs and we could play them.
Yeah, and this is one of the albums I had. And speaking of Heffron, I just remembered this last version. He didn't know the name of the album, so he'd be like, can we play that Lickety Splitly? Every time I'd be like, Closing Time, John. Like, yeah. Okay.
Things have not changed.
Nope.
And speaking of Meatloaf, I played Bat Out of Hell 2, because we would each take turns playing.
Right, if you were driving.
Yeah, you play whatever you want. And yeah. I played Bat Out of Hell 2
so many times. Yeah. I remember that.
I still love it. Maybe I'll listen to it this week. Let's listen to it right now, top to bottom.
right after we listen to the new one, top to bottom.
Oh, no. All right. No.
Do you even still own that, or is that
Look,
for novelty's sake?
This is going to sound crazy to everyone. I got a copy for review. So I got it for free. Got it weeks before it came out. And I didn't review it because the review was going to be, are you fucking kidding me? That was going to be,
kill yourself.
That was going to be 1 second. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
But then when it did come out, Target had a version with 3 bonus tracks on it.
Fuck.
So I bought that.
Oh, God.
And did those 3 hold up?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Woo.
Why did I do that?
Woo.
I got it for free. Didn't have to spend any money on it. Got a lot of jokes out of it.
Yep.
I'm going to buy it. I think I'll buy it.
Dropped $12 to $15 on it.
It's so stupid. All right.
And they were probably like, hey, we moved one of those meatloaf owls.
Some 19-year-old kid, whoever this meatloaf is.
Oh, my God.
Does this go in the food section?
Asking a young kid at Target if they have the meatloaf album in the back is the same as when I'm talking to someone on the phone and they ask me what my email address is and I have to say,
yeah,
it's Batman. PFD, those are my initials. And then I have to say, at AOL. So much bad about that.
Well, when I requested you if you could take care of these songs, I was like, do you still have the same email address? And you're like, yeah, it's at AOL.
Why would I change it? I have a Gmail account for the show. I don't like Gmail.
Did you just give out your personal email address, by the way?
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. I engage with all the listeners. It's fun for
Very
me.
Very nice of you.
Yeah, it's fun for me. They're listeners.
So, can I just the address here?
there's gonna be a listener coming. Listeners have been here.
Oh, really?
They've recorded with me here.
Fucked right there on that couch.
Like me and you, Kyle.
Yeah. There was some bone machine action right there. Why do you think I have to put a cover over that couch? There's so many stains. You black light that bitch. You won't believe it.
Looks like a CNN thing on the hotel rooms.
O'Reilly. what's your next song?
Next one that I have, I can't remember. I think it's off Heart of Saturday Night. I can't remember. It's Martha.
It's Closing Time.
Closing Time.
Oh, it is Closing Time.
Closing Time's a great album, it
apparently
seems. It's his best one. First album.
Lickety Splitly.
Operator, number please. It's been so many years. She remembered my old voice while I fight the tears. Hello, hello, there is this Martha, this is old Tom Frost, and I am calling long distance, don't worry about the cost, cause it's been 40 years or more now, Martha, please recall.
Now, is that song about, Kyle, maybe you can answer, is this about Batman's mom or Superman's mom?
I'm surprised just to hit us over the head with it again, that Zack Snyder didn't have this playing in like some guy's car at that time, and he was like, oh, I love this song, it's Martha.
And it's just some random
Tom
actor.
Tom Waits, yeah. Just like.
Never seen the character before.
Your one grandmother is my mom, that's Nana Lucy, but your other grandma is...
Martha, yeah, that's her name.
Where's Martha?
Martha!
That song I really love. It's probably one of the saddest songs that he ever wrote, and it's about a guy trying to contact a woman that he was in love with
Superman's
40 years
mom.
Ago. Yeah, I mean she's married, and almost dead, according to that movie.
He calls her the night she gets shot outside a theater. Her and her rich husband.
Hey, do you want to maybe see me?
I'm dying.
Do you want to see a play or something?
I don't know where you are, Martha. I've been the second time I've called tonight.
And she's like, is that Batman? Tim Joyce, you know from stand-up back in the day. One time we were performing somewhere, and or maybe we were driving to a show, and I had that album on, obviously, because I've got 3 songs from it already on here.
Yeah.
And he turned it off like at the end, or turned it down, and he was like, if that song doesn't make you cry, your heart is made of stone and wood. And so he's like, that's the saddest song in the world. And I was like, it really is a very, very remorseful song. And his voice, you can hear the traces of his voice, though. But it's also, is he playing a character, and he's drunk, and that's what he's supposed to. You know, it's like, who knows? It's his first album.
Let me tell you this, Rusty. I have a couple of covers from this song. Kyle, I think you know what one I want to play first.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And listen to this. See if you know who this is.
Operator, number please.
No!
It's been so many years.
The artist formerly known as Meatloaf?
Holy shit. This is when he could sing.
Whole voice. While I laugh at the tears. Hello, hello there. Is this Martha?
This is old Tom Frost.
I did not know this existed.
Yeah, 1995.
I am calling long distance. Don't worry about the cost.
Whoa.
Now, I love Meatloaf. I'm sorry that he can't sing anymore, but don't record an album and don't take your fans' money and go on tour. By the way, when he comes, I will go.
Going, yeah.
I'll get free tickets some way and I'll go. I will not pay.
No.
But I did buy his album.
Will we go to the Canyon Club or will we go bigger?
He'll go to the Saban, but will you go with me?
Yes.
Oh man.
Such a train wreck. Right?
That might be a replay of...
Of David Cassidy.
No, of the Paul Stanley show where we leave halfway through.
Oh my God.
Really?
Schmidt and I were at that David Cassidy show where he was drunk.
Oh, you were at that one?
Yes.
Oh, you mean he had a bad bout of dementia?
Oh, yes. coupled with alcohol.
Oh, God. I can't believe you were at that.
He was supposed to be on the show that Wednesday and then canceled the day before.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So that was that the weekend after that? Or did he perform after?
Yeah, he was supposed to be on Wednesday, and then we saw him the Saturday after he canceled.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, train wreck.
As soon as he walked on stage, 30 seconds.
There's no doubt.
Schmidt and I turned to each other, and I go, he's fucking hammered. Mike's like, dude, he's smashed.
Which is Schmidt for.
So we stayed drunk. Stayed the whole show.
Oh, how was that?
He fell over.
He fell over. The crowd thinned out. Boo, people. It was one of the best shows I ever saw.
Come on, get happy.
It was nuts. Look, I don't make fun of people that have dementia. If he says he has dementia, I believe he has dementia.
Yeah.
Bourbon does not help it.
No, you don't pour alcohol on that.
Anyway, this is from a 1995 album called Welcome to the Neighborhood. It was the album that followed Bad Out of Hell 2.
Yeah,
it's very good. Now, this is another version of it, and this is sung by a woman.
What? Women can sing?
Yeah, but I mean,
singing Martha.
Singing Martha. It's different. And just take this from the top so you can hear all this.
Once again, Bette Midler.
Oh, wow.
She made me feel awful good. Thank you. My friend Tom Waits wrote this song.
My friend.
Pause it for 1 second, guys. I like when she goes, gee, you're awful good.
Where are you from?
I know. She Edith Bunge.
Good God.
Gee, you're awful.
She's Archie.
Geez, dear, you're awful good with your clips. Geez, I'm going to sing Marta.
Here comes, boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Marta. Meathead.
I had no idea she recorded that.
Okay, let's hear it.
Operator number, please. It's been so many years. Will he remember my voice while I fight the tears? Hello, hello, there is this Tommy. This is Betsy Frost.
All right.
And I am calling long distance. Don't worry about the cost. It's been 20 years or more now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I would not have thought that she would have recorded that.
She sings Martin.
Marvin. I've been trying to get Lorraine Newman on this show.
All right.
To talk about, I had the first five seasons of Saturday Night Live on DVD, and I ripped all the musical performances that are on those DVDs. And I want to sit down with her and talk to her about what it was like to be there when
these people,
they sucked.
Boring.
Every single one.
Actually, in reality, it's like we were in the writer's room. We never saw anybody.
She just won't. She won't come on. And I love Lorraine Newman.
Yeah,
she just doesn't want to do it.
Have you watched that National Lampoon documentary on Netflix?
No, is she in it?
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. What does she do? Is she in it a lot?
Yeah, because like basically SNL took everyone from the National Lampoon Radio.
Right. Thieves.
Yeah. But it's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Geez, there I was on the National Lampoon.
Boy, the way I'm played.
What's your next one?
The next one is The Heart of a Saturday Night from the album Heart of a Saturday Night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you gassed her and a wheel, your arm around your sweet one, your Oldsmobile. Hailing down the boulevard, you're looking for the heart of Saturday night. And you get paid on Friday. And your pockets are jingling. And you see the lights. And you get all tingling because you're cruising with a six. And you're looking for the heart of Saturday night.
I like that. He sounds really good on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that very much.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's that juxtaposition of like, him telling a story that's start to finish, like Martha, or versus like just a mood that he's setting. And it's just like, hey, you got your girlfriend, you're out on Saturday night, you got some money. And his voice is really appropriate to that sound.
He sounds good on that. I like that song. I have a cover of that song.
I know.
This is from an album called Cover Girl from 1994. This is Sean Colvin. Yeah.
Well, you guessed her. Behind the wheel, with your arm around your sweeper and your Oldsmobile, barreling down the boulevard, looking for the heart of Saturday night. You got paid on Friday, your pockets are jingling, you see the lights, and you get all tingling, cause you're cruising with a six. Looking for the heart of Saturday night.
She can sing, huh?
She's got, yeah. Wow. That's a beautiful version, too. Well, she does one of the things, even though Bette Midler changed the names, she, instead of shave your face, she says shave your legs.
Yeah.
And it always stands out to me for some reason. I'm like, it just doesn't sound right. Yeah. I don't know why, but I guess it's just the sound of the word itself. But it's like, interesting that she chose to change it.
Well, look, if you want to hear a cover of a song where someone changes the the gender. Do we have it in there, Kyle?
I'm sure we do.
We've got to have it in here. This, Rusty, you're gonna love this. You're gonna love the hell out of this thing.
Sure I am.
Please let it be there. It's gotta be there. Oh, please let it be there. Wow, there's a lot of his tunes there.
Yeah, I didn't
It's got to be there. I see you scrolling through the whole thing. You're just going to type the song title in?
Is that it, or is it the original title?
No, it's his. It's, well, here, just hand me the thing. I'll play it.
Okay.
Because this Rusty needs to hear this. This is a piece of...
There's actual equipment change going on.
There's equipment change.
To make sure I get to hear this, what I'm going to assume is going to be a nightmare.
Oh. Well, it's interesting. That's for sure. It is interesting. Let me find it here. Do, 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 do. Everyone entertain themselves. Here we go. All right.
Looking out on the morning rain.
Oh, no.
I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another long, long day, girl, I used to feel so tired.
Wait for it.
Before the day I met you, life had been so unkind, but you're the key to my peace of mind.
The anticipation.
Yep. You made me feel like a natural man.
Whoa! Whoa!
It's so anticlimactic, man.
And it's almost like he comes in late, like he just like,
man.
Well, he's got a syllable.
Burps.
He's got to drop.
Yeah, he's like,
man.
Man.
Why
would you even do that song?
Why would you even do that song?
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something.
Oh.
Hold on 1 second, Kyle. Is Tom Traubert's Blues, is that a Tom Waits song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Rod Stewart covers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Here. Let's just play that a little bit to get Natural Man out of it.
A couple of bucks from you to go waltzing Matilda. Waltzing Matilda, you'll go waltzing Matilda with me.
Good voice.
It really was.
Yeah.
Tom Waits' voice, not so good for this one.
But Rod's voice was never any better than when he sang the theme from Legal Eagles.
Oh, yeah. What was it? I was going to say. Love Touch?
Love Touch. How cheesy is that?
Oh, God. This was on the radio constantly.
Oh. How high did this chart? Love Touch. Kyle's looking it up. The video is great. He's in a courtroom.
Yep, I remember.
It's ridiculous. He's the inmate, but his hair's all perfect.
It was released twice.
Of course it was. People couldn't get enough of it.
86 and 93.
Where did it go to?
Number 6.
Whoa. Whoa.
Cash in a check, Rod.
No shit.
It's better than Meatloaf's new album.
Oh. By a bouffant hairdo.
Gonna give you my love touch.
Well, it's funny because like that Tom Trubbard's blues, his voice, Tom Waits' voice is that.
Waltzing Matilda.
But see, like Rod Stewart's voice at the time was
nice,
really like smooth,
nice,
pretty.
Did you ever hear him sing standards? Oh, God. That's my mom. She's like, hey. Do you know who Rod Stewart is? This is like when he had those standards albums out.
Yeah, I remember,
I'm like,
yeah,
I know who Rod Stewart is. Hey, he's wonderful.
Yeah, I remember you telling me to turn it down.
Yeah, in high school. Yeah, I saw him in concert. Oh, did he sing Blue Moon? I'm like, no.
How about Moon River?
Nope. Didn't see anything
whole
with Moon
album.
Yeah, the Moon album. Yeah.
Did he sing Paper Moon?
Did Keith Moon maybe play with it?
I gotta be honest, he does have a song that's he does have an album that has it's called Moon Something. Hold on. It's called Moon Pie. Once in a Blue Moon.
Oh, really?
It's the great lost Rod Stewart album. You could only get it Rhino Records. It was like a handmade imprint. You had to it's very hard to find.
You had to go there with a blank CD and
burn it for you. Very difficult to find. Very
sure
difficult.
People have been knocking down doors to get it.
That's, oh my yeah, god,
definitely,
you know it.
Definitely.
You're up, buddy. What do you got for us? How many more songs you got?
We can skip a few because we've been playing other songs if you want. Okay. Because now we're going to go into a couple songs that are, it's off the album Black Rider, and it's called Black Rider. But these are, all of these songs were featured.
Yeah, these are the ones that you have to pay me back for.
Yeah. But, I guess I'll talk about it afterwards, but
okay. Which song?
Play very little of Black Rider.
Jeez, Kyle, wait, get ready.
Oops. Maybe get ready to do your job too.
Oh, maybe it's in the wrong hole. How many times have you heard that? There we go.
Lay down in the web of the black spider. I'll drink your blood like wine.
It's the beginning of a Disney ride. Yep. Like when you're like in the queue still. And he's like swinging up.
But when the speakers are blown.
Take
look at the album cover.
And dance around in your
yep.
Did he draw that?
I wouldn't doubt it.
With the black rider, we'll have a gale.
Yeah, you can kill it.
Is he singing like a German?
Well, he's
like a Frenchman or something. Like,
yeah,
like,
what's going on?
From a cartoon.
There's a whole theme to this album, and this came out after Bone Machine, so it's probably like 93 or 94.
Great period for him.
Yeah, but what happened was he originally wrote it as kind of a musical.
Okay.
So there's an actual story arc throughout the entire song. And so he's playing a character in that moment. And I actually saw that musical probably about 12, 13 years ago.
But not with him.
I think you're going to say 12, 13 times.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You think I would have shown up here if I did?
20 tracks on this album.
Yeah. And so he's not a light touch. He likes to go real deep into an album. Yeah, so I actually saw it, and I saw the context in which he wrote this album, because I was like, this is just weird. It's like, no, he wanted this musical to be made, and there's this entire arc that goes on, but if you're not going to just throw that in your CD player at home and be like, let me just kick back, make some dinner.
So it's a play based on the German folktale Der Freischutz, which is probably pronounced wrong, but it's German for the marksman, and... it was previously an opera, but then he wrote this, and it was directed by Robert Wilson and co-written by William S. Burroughs, who's a crazy person, so that probably makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
William S. Burroughs shot his wife in the head in Mexico and never went to jail.
Well, is he smart?
Good for him.
He also, I don't pay taxes.
he put a she put a shot glass on her head because they were both coked out of their mind at a party.
Yeah.
He pulled out a revolver and missed a lot.
Look.
A lot.
First of all, that's tragic, but man, that's a fucking great party. I mean, I have not been to a great party like that in a long time.
I was at your 50th birthday party, and it's probably second only.
Not as good. You got another song from the Black Rider.
Yeah,
it's an instrumental, though, right?
Yeah, so we don't have to play that much of it. But it's
and I was looking for him singing, and when he didn't, I loved it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, once you realize that there's not going to be singing in it.
Is this Black Box theme?
It's it's a Russian dance.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because there's a couple instrumentals on this
album. Yeah, and you can play just 5 seconds of this if you want.
There is a
melody that kicks in, but it takes like another like.
This is
measures.
What John McCain heard when he was in the prisoner of war camp, and he never cracked because he's a hero.
I think he's a coward.
Could you imagine just being in a cell and they just blast that
24/7? Yeah, or like 23/7.
And you're like,
so
can
one
you play,
hour day you don't hear it,
you get
and then,
to sleep for that
yeah,
hour.
Can you play the other 19? I'm really confused about the story.
For that hour, they beat you.
And it's the best.
It's a relief.
Oh, thank God. They're coming back in. The music's going to stop. All right. Yeah, just put my hands behind my head.
Look, man. It's your favorite artist, but I like that you can make fun of me because I make fun of stuff.
Sure. I mean, you do it all the time. You have to. I mean, I've seen concerts with you where you've been like, yes, this is who we're going to go see.
Yep. We're going to see these guys.
It's going to happen. Just like David Cassidy. You stuck around for that. But I
would not leave it.
That song as it plays out has a violin melody in it. And it, the reason I chose it is because it shows that he can actually write that type of music, like an actual like orchestral song. And, it works. Like you said, once you realize there's not going to be singing, and it's like, oh, okay, I see what he's doing with this. Yeah. But
that song's not my cup of tea, but maybe, I don't know, what's Stevie Nicks think of that song?
That was wonderful. I thought that was wonderful.
You want to hear it? She says it twice. All right.
All right.
She says everything twice. That's what she likes to do.
Okay.
How many more songs in your list?
I've got three more, but we don't have to do
no, 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 no.
Okay, I got three more.
Okay, let me play a song. This is from from James Taylor, and this is a song called. This is Popeye's favorite saying. This is. Are you ready, Kyle? I see you're fooling around over there.
Yeah.
This is what Popeye says. He says, "Shiver me timbers." Does Popeye say "Shiver me timbers"?
Nope.
I don't think so. I think just generic.
I think that's a pirate in general, and
pretty
Popeye
sure,
not a pirate.
I think Popeye says this.
All right.
"Shiver me timbers." Go ahead. You play this by James Taylor. I'm going to look up Popeye saying "Shiver me timbers."
I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving my friends. My body's at home, but my heart's in the wind. But the clouds are like headlines on a new front page sky. My tears are salt and water, and the moon's full and high. I know Marginita don't be proud.
That's a great version of that song.
Thank you.
Great job.
There's a Popeye cartoon called "Shiver Me Timbers."
Okay.
So that's probably what you're thinking of.
It's a specific episode.
Of
it's a Max Fleischer. I'm sure somewhere in there he says "Shiver."
Oh, I'm sure he does.
One Christmas we asked my Nana what she got you for Christmas.
But I asked for it.
Yeah. And she goes, "Oh, he wanted fucking Popeye."
That's what my mom said about Popeye.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No.
Because they released the Max Fleischer, the black and white ones, where he mumbles, and I fucking love it.
Oh, God. I love that. No,
And then
she also gets you the Rod Stewart album of all the standards.
Yeah, he didn't even want that Rod Stewart album.
Fucking Rod Stewart.
That's where
album.
The emphasis would be. She goes, "Stewart." Rusty's met Nana Lucy.
Yeah, a long time ago. That's when I met you. You were a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, shoot me timbers. So it's your turn. Play two. Right. Play so whatever you want.
All right. Next one is I Hope I Don't Fall in Love with You.
Well, I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Falling in love just makes me blue. Well, the music plays and you display your heart for me to see. I had a beer and now I hear you calling out for me. And I hope that I don't fall in love with you.
That's again from the aforementioned closing time. I think I would buy this album. Is the whole album like that?
Pretty solid, yeah. Everything's really solid.
Yeah, 12 songs? Three more songs did buy.
All right, yeah, you're right. You're right, Kyle.
It's $3.
I already own it. I could probably find this one for $2.99 used.
Probably. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, that's that one. That one is one of those story ones again where it's basically, you know, it's like, I hope I don't fall in love with you. He's singing someone, he's sitting in a bar and looking at a woman, and then, you know, he's just lamenting that he's falling, not going to fall in love with her, and then she leaves, and then he's like, and then I fell in love with you. It's just like he captures moods really, really thoroughly.
He started his career performing every Monday night at the Troubadour.
Oh, and now he doesn't play at all.
He got it out of his system, yeah. Kyle. Kyle, did you ever go see a show at the Troubadour?
I did.
It's a great place, isn't it?
It is good.
Who'd you see there?
I actually saw like the Conan band there.
I was with you.
Oh. Yeah. And then I stood outside there when Nine Inch Nails played a secret show there and I could not get in.
Did you get their autographs?
No.
Did you see them?
Yeah.
You did. You saw them, you laid eyeballs on
when they were leaving, yeah.
All right.
When Trent.
Did they sign anything?
They were, I was the only person there, and then a paparazzi person ran up. Like it's
Popeye Rotsy.
Hello, shimmy.
Hey, if it isn't Atticus Ross.
Can I get a picture?
Hey. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if you get a picture with you.
I really like that stuff. I like that hurt. I put a hurt on Olive last night. I put the spinach in my penis.
That was a reach. Holy shit.
And then it flexes.
Yeah.
And a cannon goes off.
And you can see a tank in it. Yeah. Like.
It's a ship and it's just shooting. Right in your eye. What a quinky dinks.
That's why he's squinting.
That's why he's got the one eye. He shot his own eye.
Yeah, you're better in the sack than Sea Hag. She's the worst.
Now he's from New York.
You got, what's your next tune?
It's Downtown Train, which the aforementioned Rod Stewart also covers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have that, but this is one.
Don't you worry about what I have.
All right.
Maybe Meatloaf covering.
Jesus Christ. But this
Downtown Train. The train.
No, that was way too lyrical.
It was
Meatloaf. Yeah.
All right.
Outside another yellow moon. It's pouring so old in the nighttime.
Are you looking up a picture of Sea Hag?
Because I forgot what she looked like.
She's gorgeous.
What? With a name like Sea Hag?
I'm shining like a new dime. The downtown trains are full. For all those Brooklyn girls. They try so hard to break out of their little worlds. Well, you wave your hand and the sky will look.
It's a great tune. So great that I created a mashup.
Oh.
I created a super group.
Snap City Snappers.
Consisting of Patti Smyth, mm-hmm. Rod Stewart, Mary Chapin Carpenter, and Bob Seger. And let's hear it. Kyle, just play this whole thing out. Play this whole thing. It's not our playout song. Oh.
Seamless.
You
scatter like crows. They have nothing that'll ever capture your heart. They're just thorns without the rose. Be careful, I've been in the dark. And if I was the one you chose to be your only one, oh baby, now can't you hear me now? Will I see you tonight on a downtown train?
Well, every night is just the same. Don't leave me lonely now. I know your window and I know it's late. I know your stairs and your doorway.
And that's it. Yeah. I feel like fading it.
I did all that work.
I did all that work, and I wanted it to end like a piece of shit.
Boop, done. And only you knew when it ended, and you didn't start talking for like 2 seconds.
You've got one song left, right?
Yes, I got one song
left.
We'll
use that for our playout song.
Okay, great.
Let's promote a little bit.
Okay.
You're on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, at Russ McGarry.
You write funny stuff on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
I see you did a whole bunch of stuff about the sea hag last week.
It's a hot topic.
And Alice the Goon.
Alice the Goon.
That's who I was picturing.
Alice the Goon's like a dog, right?
Alice the
Goon. Alice the Goon is creepy. Let me see what Alice the Goon looks like. I mean, look at that.
Yeah, it's
who described that? I mean, describe that?
Created it. She looks like Olive Oil, Kilroy, and the Abominable Snowman combined.
So hot. That's what we're saying. Bless you, Patrick.
I was going to say fuckable. And there's Wimpy. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Huh? Reminds me of Sean Spicer.
Let me decorate that burger for you.
It's not out.
And then sometimes it's Bluto, and sometimes it's Brutus.
Yeah.
Then there's poop deck Pappy.
Well, there's after they shoot their loads.
That's a nice picture. Send that picture to Andrew Ridge. He needs that picture. Oh my God. Why are we on a look at that?
Olive oil covered in white.
Yeah, you can see. Look at that, Rusty. Look at that picture. Olive oil is just covered.
Jesus Christ.
That's the Popeye Bukkake
episode. Winsky, you stand over there. Bluto stands over here.
Yeah, goddamn Bukkake.
And they have like weirdly dildo looking
things in his hand. What's Whippy holding? Is that a Gemini dong? What is that? Please send that to Andrew Rich. He's never going to be able to find that. What's he going to type?
I don't know. Olive, I typed in
olive
the
covered
in jizz.
Smeg. Unbelievable. All right. This took a turn. Where are you at on Twitter?
At Russ McGarry, 2 R's in McGarry.
Okay. McGarry.
Yes.
No underscore.
Nope.
You got it.
All
that's
one,
you.
Baby.
You used to have a podcast. There's episodes still around that people could find?
No, that was a couple of years ago that we stopped doing it, and then we have had a lot of people like on our Facebook fan page will be like, where can I find the episodes? It's like, we're not going to just spend money on storage space and bandwidth.
Who are you, Bob Seger?
Randomly see what I do.
How many episodes did you do?
105.
You could chunk them out in 20 episode increments, and you could we transfer them directly to people as a zip file and charge them for that.
All right.
Charge them $100. For 20 episodes.
Jesus Christ.
But think about that. You still have the episodes on your hard drive, right?
Yeah, I have them all. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thought.
Yeah.
See, you know how I'm with execution? Terrible.
It's so easy. We transfer. Yes. We transfer's the best.
I just sent this to Andrew Rich. I said, you're going to need this for the Tom Waits episode.
And he's
just
like, why? He has no idea what is going on. Andrew Rich does our show notes. We call it, Kyle, what do we call him?
A-Bombs.
A-Bombs. He hates it. Doesn't like that nickname.
Perfect.
Kyle, you're at Kyle Dotson Funny.
I am.
I'm at Pat_Francis. We are at Rock Solid Show. By the time you hear this, we have a Patreon page up and running with the ASAP Club. You'll get this immediately. You'll probably get it tomorrow. So Patreon page isn't up yet. Give us 4 days from now, you people.
Yeah.
That's the ASAP Club. They get the episodes as soon as I record them. I have like 7 episodes in the can right now, I think. So, but they'll get this. They'll get this immediately. I can tell you, Rusty, this is going to drop May 18th.
All right.
May 18th is when this will drop. So,
and it's January 2nd now. So,
it's April 10th.
Oh, right.
Monday, April 10th. Rusty, you're going to play the playoffs. Kyle, you want to promote anything?
I work at a place called AOK.
Boo!
They make funny stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of the stuff they make because I help.
That's good.
Somewhat. And so I run all their social media. So go follow us on everything at This Is AOK.
If you've never had a job where that you're proud of your job or proud of what's happening at the job, you need to fucking get another job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you do have that kind of job, it's really cool.
Fulfilling. Yeah.
It's really fulfilling. Yeah.
Like when I worked on the Real Housewives of Orange County. No. Nope.
I guess that's all we got. How's the website coming along? By now it should be.
It's coming along. The main hang up is figuring out how Andrew's going to do the stuff. That's honestly the main, because it's not as easy as it should be. Mm-hmm. So I have to figure out that piece on my end because I don't want to make it a chore for him.
Yeah, we don't want it to be a chore for A-Bombs.
I won't go into too much detail. I'm going to figure it out, and it should be ready to go.
Do you want to do 15 minutes of tech talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. We covered Popeye and how you guys are going to design the website. And Meatloaf.
Oh, Jesus. I would love to play out with Meatloaf, but we won't. We're going to play out with... Rusty, thank you for doing this. I hope this was fun.
It was very fun. I'm glad we finally got... We've been talking about doing this for a really long time.
Is this the best thing you've done since you've been in L.A.?
Well, since I got in yesterday, yeah.
What'd you do last night?
Ran 100 miles.
Yeah.
Jerked off.
Oh, that's right. Rusty runs like crazy.
Yeah. Not as much now, but
why not?
Sometimes.
What stopped you?
I was hating running 20 miles as a training run.
You got bad knees?
No.
Bad back?
It's all good.
Everything's good?
Dick broke.
Your dick, that you know you're running hard when your dick broke because you kept stepping on it.
Yeah, exactly. I tripped on it like 7 times.
So now the Tom Waits song that is your last one in your list. Is it a good playout song or is it going to be
it's
humorous for some people?
No, it won't. It's
humorous.
It's not an upbeat song, but it's not going to be like the stuff that we've been making fun of the entire time.
Is it from Closing Time?
No, it's from it's from Mule Variations.
Oh, that's one of his later ones.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But it's a very sad song, but it's one of my favorite of his sad songs. It's one of my favorites.
It's from 1999. Looks like this one got rave reviews again.
Much to the chagrin of Pat and Kyle.
What's the song called? Is this Chocolate Jesus?
No, this is The House Where Nobody Lives.
This isn't Filipino Box Spring Hog?
If you
want a song on this, Filipino Box Spring Hog.
Yep. And that's a lyric in the song.
There's also a song called Pony on this album.
I dig a pony.
What's this one called again?
The House Where Nobody Lives.
This isn't Black Market Baby? All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you, Andrew Rich. Thank you, Russ. Rusty McGarry.
Thank you, Patrick Francis.
That's abandoned cold.
That's not bad.
The folks moved out of it a long time ago. And they took all their things and they never came back. It looks like it's haunted with the windows all cracked. Everyone calls it the house where nobody lives.